only twice, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him while life shall last, trusting Him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. And if you open your Bibles to the book of 1 John one more time, and we'll go ahead and take another lesson from my little children, the Apostle Paul writes to us. While you're turning there, let me review a bunch of missionary letters. We got a little behind in our mail, and so we actually got a Christmas letter from the Michael and Deanne Staley again. Appreciate the Staleys in Rota, Spain, again, working with the military in Rota, Spain. And then there's a Quit Yourselves Like Men Fellowship, and this is going to be at Bethel Independent Baptist Church, King Ferry, New York. Pastor Chris Wallace is there, and that's at 10 a.m. on Saturday, February 10th, so mark your calendars, and I'm going to try to get out to that, and if you can be free on February 10th. Well, February starts this week, I think, so so it's just around the corner here. And then the Valdez is December 2023 prayer letter. Appreciate them. They came back. They came here years ago, and again, appreciate their efforts for the Lord, and an update on their progress there. And then the again, the Reaching the Kiwis for Christ, the Smith family, appreciate them as they labor in, boy, I forgot where they labored in. What's a Kiwi state?
New Zealand.
New Zealand. Ah, New Zealand, New Zealand, you're right. I should have known that. And then, again, just from the BIMI, again, there. According to that, I appreciate again hearing from them, and appreciate our missionaries, and that we could again be. Oh, there's a whole pile over here that we had opened earlier and didn't get to. So we'll get some more letters in as we get to them. But let's be. And I praise the Lord again, even 2023. Praise the Lord for our mission outreach here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church to be able to support 18 missionaries again, and that's done largely through Faith Promise. We did add one missionary to Thomas to Egypt again, that comes as there's excess in our Faith Promise. And so appreciate again that we can just have God's blessing on our ability to reach around the world and to pray around the world. I've got again 18 missionaries I like to pray for, and another 18 that have been here again, and some of us have promised to pray for them. I wanted to put together a list of all the missionaries that came through in 2023, but I didn't somehow have the wherewithal or the memory to pull that out. So pray for missions and appreciate our outreach to do so. Let's look at God's Word, the book of 1 John again. What a precious accounting. And just so that we can do this in 30 minutes, I made an outline. And so, again, it's good good when your pastor has an outline, because if I don't, I just go on and chase rabbits all over the place. So we'll try and stick with the outline. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And look again at some more of this precious epistle of 1 John. We've done some introductory work on it. already and appreciate again that we're looking at a way to be more fully in fellowship with God. We left off last week in chapter 2, and let's pick it up in First John chapter 2, and looking at verse 6 this morning. And that verse says this: "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Short verse, a lot of stuff in there. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we could be students of it. And I pray that it would again be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Even as we'd again look at it today, may it divide the thoughts and intents of our hearts here. And even as we'd step into a new week, I thank you, Father, that we could do that in worship of your Son on this Sunday morning. And pray again now that you'd bless your words into our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we'd ask it. Amen, amen. You may be seated. And so we're looking again at this theme from John, that we could again have fellowship with him, that your joy may be full. And I have marveled again at that. And trust, maybe you've had time a little bit to just sit and meditate on the fact that you can fellowship with God. You know, you can do that even when you're in a blizzard. You can do that when you're... I forgot where I wrote this, but in wintertime, all the world lies dormant except people who are running around like crazy people. And so it's good sometimes just to spend a little time lying dormant. And again, in doing that, just spend some time in meditating and looking at God's word and rejoicing at what he has done for us and is doing for us. It's good to be busy for the Lord, but we'll look at a verse here shortly that says God doesn't want us as servants. And I want to say that very carefully, because we are to be servants, but he wants us as friends, it says. I think it's John 15. And so just to be a friend of God. Moses spoke face to face with God as a man speaketh with a friend. I think that's Exodus 33:11. And so we want to again be a friend of God in this day and age. And boy, as we see Christianity dwindling here in Yates County, I've been in Yates County 29, coming up on 29 years here, laboring in Yates County. And so, again, there's not a lot of big results, again, going on in Yates County for Christ. There's, again, a lot of agnosticism, a lot of atheism, and a lot of apostate churches. And so I appreciate, again, that sometimes we don't see all the results that we might see, that we have seen in other areas and even in our ministry. Again, praise the Lord that he is in control and that he does his perfect work in us, and that we could be a lighthouse even here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And so I'm concerning myself as we step into 2024 that, again, we have internally a right relationship with him, a right walk with him, and that we build on that and enjoy that even as we go through 2024, which is probably going to have some disappointments in our lives as far as our nation, as far as persecution, as far as things going on even at our little church here. And again, let's look at this verse one more time. It says, "He that saith he abideth in him." And so as we consider that thought, notice again that there is an abiding in him. And we've already looked at here in this study of John's epistle, going backwards through what we've looked at. Last week we looked at keeping his commandments, keeping his word and his commandments. Before that, in verse 3, we looked at, we know that we know him. Well, I hope you know that you know him. I like that little phrase. In verse 2, he is our propitiation. We looked at that and the importance of that. And then back to chapter 1, it starts off, leads off here with having fellowship with him as we walk in the light, as he is in the light. Then again, we're targeting the idea, or the Apostle John is targeting for us here, that we have fellowship with the Father, that your joy may be full. Praise the Lord. And so now we want to look at this theme here of abiding in him. You want to hold your place maybe there in 1 John. Although I think we memorized the verse already. Let's turn back into the Gospel of John in chapter 15. Talking about abiding in him. Notice again it says there that we should know he that abideth in him. That's presuming that we are abiding in him. John chapter 15, as I said, talks about abiding in him. Now, we already looked at the verse that says that we should know that we know him. And so that's, again, dealing with our salvation. And to know that we know that we know. God will save you until you know it. He'll change you until you show it. And so, again, we're looking at here now, abiding in him. And understand this, that a Christian isn't necessarily abiding in him. That we don't, sometimes we step out of our position in Christ. And so there are times, again, that Christians might live half their life out of the abiding in him command. And so we want to look here at what it takes to abide in him. And that's not dealing with our salvation so much, although you need to be in him before you can abide in him. And so it's a prerequisite for that. And I trust, again, that you know that you know that you know that you are a born-again Christian, again, saved from condemnation through your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then let's go back to chapter 15 of the Gospel of John and notice what it says. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. The Lord Jesus Christ was the teacher of all teachers. He was, again, the one who communicated best. And it's amazing how much of his teaching is done to his disciples through parables, through understandings, again, of the agricultural zone that they lived in there in, again, Israel. Teachings, again, that tie back to the land, tie back to farming, tie back to real situations in our lives that we could grab onto those parallels that are given. And so here we have one of them given great depth here about being in the vine. And let's explore it a little bit. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2 in John chapter 15. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And again, I liked our Bible study on Wednesday night because we just sat and looked at the whole book of Job and said, whoa, what's happening here? And some of us came to a conclusion there that Job was being pruned, as it were. He was being trained. Although he was righteous, again, and he was in the right place, God said so, and he was upright, again, God put him through a tremendous trial, or allowed him to go through a tremendous trial, and Job came out of it a better man. And again, you and I, again, are going through, I hope nothing that of biblical proportion, but you and I go through trials, go through challenges in life. And here, again, notice again that some of it should be recognized as a purging in our life, to prune back again stuff that ought not be in our life. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I trust you're born again Christian. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now Galatians 5, I think verse 9, gives us the fruits of the Spirit. I had them listed out here in the margin of my Bible. And hope again that we know the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit are 9 of them. Okay, let's see how many we could name. Love.
Joy,
peace,
gentleness,
goodness, faith,
meekness against such there is no law.
Meekness, I like that.
Long
suffering, okay, we got that one. Well, I'm not saying we got that one, but. Okay, 8 out of 9, that's not too bad. Again, we missed something in there, but we'll go back and pick it up, I'm sure. And so as we look here at the fruits again, notice that we ought to have those fruits in our life. Lots of people to this verse, to this context, think fruits is nothing but soul winning. What was it?
Is it temperance against such there's no law?
Temperance, yeah, okay, temperance.
Something like that.
Yeah, we don't want to forget that one. That's where we don't have to put a padlock on the refrigerator, I think. That's what temperance is. So, where was I on the thought here? So again, we got those fruits of the Spirit. And again, certainly a fruit is, again, soul winning. Certainly a fruit, again, that he that is wise, again, winneth people to Christ, again, is a soul winner, tells others, does our job as a witness to tell others about Christ, but don't mix them up with the fruits of the Spirit. That are certainly prevalent here and wanted to abound more and more, much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch that is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Okay, notice again our verse says, he that saith he abideth in me. I hope that's not just said, that it's a real thing. There's a lot of professed believers. And some of 1 John, what we're looking at, is going to be able, so that you could step back and look at our neighbors, our loved ones, our kin, look at people in this world and make some determination whether they're bearing fruit or not. And by their fruits ye shall know them. And so there is an aspect in our lives where we look at people and have to make some determination. Are they born again? Are they true Christians? Or are they just professed Christians? And so we're going to look at that as we go deeper into the little epistle of 1 John. But again, to understand that this here is dealing with us first again. And to look at, again, that you know, that first person that we understand, that we know him, and we know that we know him. And then secondly here, that we are abiding in him. Again, probably of hypocrisy is the word that comes to mind. And we see that again where people say, oh yeah, I'm abiding with him. And you can have a good fight with your wife on the way to church and then step into the church doors and have a big smile on. And I only bring that up because I've seen it first person again that we can put on airs. Notice that this putting on airs about abiding him is not so much to do with our salvation, because once you're saved, you're saved again. You can't get unsaved. And so praise the Lord for that. But on this abiding thing, we could be walking as Christians and not abiding in Christ. We just dealt with sin in our lives. And so examining our life and make sure, hey, I am abiding with him. Boy, it's a sweet place to be. And it's written so that our fellowship with him is with God. and that we would have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I could go off on a tyrant here and preach a message on prayer, asking and receiving, by John R. Rice, my brother, John R. Rice. Again, notice that's a tough verse right there. And in fact, all of them, there's about four times I could go through and pull out scriptures that says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I've been in places in my life, I think of a Jeep Cherokee four-wheel drive, when my little Datsun was stuck out in the middle of the woods someplace, I said, Lord, I told you I needed a Jeep Cherokee. And so there's things in my life where I can say, hey, wait a minute, I asked for this and didn't get it. And so, there's some grounds for us to testing on whether we are abiding in him or not. And here we have this assurance, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's too big a verse for me to preach right today, so let's move on. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Verse 10. Notice he's repeating some of the things that John has already rehearsed for us in his My Little Children epistles. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And so here we have this abiding lesson given by the Lord Jesus Christ, and rehearsed in this little epistle by John, to emphasize the importance of just abiding in him, to be in him, to be in your position that you have in Christ, and to live there, to walk there, to stay there. Sometimes we need to get back in position on Sunday morning before we get to church. But listen, we ought to be there abiding all the week long. I remember the first time, I don't remember the first time because I'm old and I forget things, but I remember when it first came important to me to my first waking moment, first time that I come into any kind of consciousness is to praise God and to talk to him. And boy, that made a difference in my days. That made a difference in my life. That I'd start my day at the first waking consciousness, before my feet even hit the floor, that start with a conscious thought, and the first thing a conscious thought comes to my mind, I think, that was a conscious thought. I should praise the Lord. Remember those guys back in Hezekiah's day, and they all woke up dead? Praise the Lord, I didn't wake up dead. That's a good start of the day right there again. So, praise the Lord, and keeping, again, our consciousness present on abiding in him. That's an important step in our lives, and an important emphasis again. It'll increase our spiritual awareness. In fact, what was that verse? I just read my wife's favorite verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I can't start it, but she can.
Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I like to and get that little verse a little more active in my life again. When I start a car anymore, I'm thinking I'm about to take off here. In all my ways acknowledge him. And I sure want him to direct my paths. And praise the Lord, we've seen that in our lives and the care he takes for us. And so this important step of abiding in him. And so notice what it says next. He that saith in our text, and there's more I could say about abiding in him. Let's go on at least to the next couple verses. These things have I spoken unto you, verse 11, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That's a big commandment. And then verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15 is that verse I mentioned, that henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That's a big deal. That's a big verse. And that's a big part of our spiritual growth. That's a big part of our spiritual walk, that we come to a place where we recognize that, hey, we are in fellowship with Him. And He is our friend. And we could speak face to face with God, even as Moses spoke to his friend. Verse 6 again in 1 John chapter 2 says this, he that saith, he abideth in him. I hope you saith that. And I hope you saith it so much that you doeth it, all right? He that saith, he abideth in him. And then it says this, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Last week I brought up the book by In His Steps, where everything that happens in our life, we stop and say, hey, what would Jesus do? That's a good theme. That's a good point. Sometimes my wife brings it up to me, especially when I'm driving and someone cuts me off or something. She brings it up more than I do again. But again, that ought to be something that's caught in our life because of this verse right here, even that says, again, that we, if we abide in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walketh. So abiding in him, and now we ought to walk like he walked. I think there's two different steps here again, at least in the verb section. One is to abide in him, and the other is to watch our walk. And so quickly, let's walk through some things. And 2024 will not be a cakewalk, I wrote. And again, he stopped in John 15 at verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And so let's take up that theme. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. I have these as a cross-reference in my Bible. I think I've gone through them here a number of times at Good Samaritan. But again, I've got a little picture of a cross-eyed bear. It's easy to draw a little picture of a teddy bear with crossed eyes again. And so I've got a cross-eyed bear drawn in the margin of my wide margin Bible here on every one of these references. Let's look at them real quickly. And you might jot them down. I don't think we'll have time to turn to them all. But in Matthew in chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Whoa, okay, think about what we just read there, and understand that we are to take up our cross and follow him. And here, this first time again, talks about whether we're worthy of him. And boy, I want that we would be. And if you're going to be worthy of him, you're going to do it because you're abiding in him. And if you're going to abide in him, you're going to do it because you've been made a new creature by being born again. So that's the sequence we're looking at here. And now let's look at what it means to walk as he walked. I got a chain reference on this one that says turn to Matthew 16:24. If you turn there, you'll find the Bible saying, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. A cross reference that takes us to Mark 8:34 that says, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Then one that leads us to Mark 10:21. Come, take up the cross and follow me. A cross reference then that leads you to a little cross I bear drawn in the margin of your Bible that says Luke 9:23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Luke 14:27 is the next cross reference. And let's look at that one. Luke chapter 14 and look at the context that it's given in. Luke chapter 14 and verse 27. That's the tail end of this cross reference. Luke 14 and verse 27 says this. Let me read 26, 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Is that what your Bible says? That's pretty strong stuff right there, okay? And then look at verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. On that verse, I've got several others written, so let's look them up. I didn't get them written out in my haste. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified. How come I didn't get that one in there? I am crucified with Christ. We sing a song. I am crucified with Christ. Therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ. Therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. The Bible there gives this reference. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh and the afflictions and lust. What's on that cross? Well, there it is. That what's to be crucified on that cross? The flesh, it says here. And the affections and the lusts. Galatians 6. Galatians got a lot to say about this. Galatians 6 and verse 14 says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. A three-star verse, Philippians 2:8. And I didn't even look this up this morning to figure out why did I put three stars on that one. Let's look at Philippians 2:8. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we find again the example here of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to walk as he walked, which we ought to do according to John's My Little Children verse, then again we're going to recognize that he walked to give his life for others. Two more, Colossians 2:14. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 2 and verse 14. It says they're blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And so it's an interesting study to look at, yeah, certainly bearing our cross, certainly following him, and walking in his steps and behaving how he behaved. Again, but here again, notice that there's some things that are nailed to that cross, and they are expounded here in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:18. And here again, the church at Corinth needed the most help, the most instruction, and is given again 15 chapters because of 15 things that was upset and wrong in their church. And 1 Corinthians 1, introductory stuff, begins, and in verse 18 it says this: "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And so, I want to say this carefully, that that's more than preaching the cross of Christ. That's preaching about me bearing my cross. That's talking about us walking in his steps. That's talking about us, that we ought to do, we ought to walk as Jesus walked. And so, as we look at those verses, again, understand that this walking as Jesus walked is the challenge of our day, the challenge of our new year, and again, the challenge of our life. One more, and this is an important one, so turn again with me to John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, we find again that Jesus is in a position where he washes the disciples' feet. And again, we're going to walk as he walked. We don't have a foot washing here, nor is it an ordinance of the church. It was not an ordinance that was carried on nor practiced by the church, nor do we. But that doesn't mean we should leave the principle behind. And notice again, the challenge here is that we not, that we include this in our lives to be ministers, not only ministers of the gospel, but ministers one to another. And again, John is going to carry on that theme in more depth again as we get into his little epistle about our love one for another. But look here what Jesus says. For I have, in verse 15, John chapter 13 and verse 15, he's just now washed the disciples' feet and gone through all of that discourse again that he had with Peter about that. And it says in verse 15, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you." Now, stop and think for a moment. He's not talking about washing feet at this point. Okay, he's not, the reference isn't for us. Okay, so there it is. And again, I know the Pentecostals take this verse and run with it, that Jesus said we're supposed to do it, so I don't care what the apostles say about it. We're going to do it again. And so you got to be careful of a Pentecostal, because the Word of God is not their final authority by any means, nor have they studied it in great depth. And so here, notice again that it's not talking so much about the physical act of washing feet as it is about serving and being servant to others. And so verily, verily, I say unto you that the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither, I'm in verse 16, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And then verse 17, underline it, circle it, memorize it, apply it, live it. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. John 13, 17. Well, that's a good verse. I've often heard it said, and I probably have said it myself a couple times, that if we just lived what we know, we don't need to find any new things in the Bible. If we just lived what we know. And so here's a verse that lifts that up a little bit. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 through 7 ends with this story about not being hearers of the word, but being doers of the Lord, the word. And then he caps all of that teaching off with this little parable The wise man built his house upon the rock. Okay, we sing the song, we know the words, and that is given as a capstone of everything he taught in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, all the way through, including the Lord's Prayer there, what's called the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer that Jesus gave, all the way through the very ending where he says, hey, do these things. Don't be a hearer, but be a doer. And now here again, after washing the disciples' feet, think about where that's at. He's just about to head to Gethsemane. He's just about again to make that trail or trek under escort again over to Caiaphas' palace where he'll be on trial. And then again to be delivered to the cross and to die for our sins. And so kind of one of the last leading messages here is that, hey, you need to serve one another. Be servants to one another. And we need to do that. We need to practice that. We could find a way even this week, and then maybe find a way in every week of 2024 that we could be a servant to somebody else, that we could serve them. Certainly here to other believers, but more so, there's a whole world out there that needs again to hear about Christ, needs again to see Christ, and someone who would walk as he walked. The believers accepted Christ, and they were called believers in Acts chapter 2. Many that believed on him. Later on, they were called disciples because they followed him. And Jesus said to those that believed in him in John chapter 8, said unto those that believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And so the disciples were multiplied. And then finally, in Acts, we find that they are called Christians. And that was a label that stuck on them. And that was because they talked like Christ. They acted like Christ. And listen, I like this. They reacted like Christ. When they're persecuted, when they're put in trial, when they go through afflictions, they reacted like Christ. And so, let me just go ahead and conclude this message with this. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you again, Father, for the Apostle John, probably 90 years old, sitting in his study and penning this tremendous epistle to my little children. Father, thank you that we could read it, glean its truths, and live and now walk again, even as Jesus walked. We'll praise you again and thank you for touching each heart, causing again that we'd find a way to fulfill your word in our lives as we'd walk through a new week. Thank you that we could begin it in worship of your Son, in the presence of others, that we could gather again in your name. Father, that you would meet here with us. Thank you for your word that's quick and powerful and able again to make us again do these things or to help us do these things. And Father, I pray again that you'd bless each one under the sound of my voice, that we could walk right there. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen, amen. Let's stand and dismiss in song. We started in 722. Let's close out there. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back. What glory that will be! Wonderful his love for me. Lord bless you today. Lord bless your week.